In cell 9, Greg hung newspapers across the bars of his door so no one could see him. He convinced himself that he was not on death row, but rather in his own little cocoon, somewhere else, biding his time reading voraciously and watching his small television. He spoke to no one but the run man, who, during his very first chat, asked Greg if he wanted to buy some marijuana. Yes, he did. At first, Greg did not realize that a few lucky condemned men actually left the row alive. Occasionally, the appeals worked, good lawyers got involved, judges woke up, and miracles happened. But no one had informed him of this. He was sure he would be put to death, and frankly, he wanted to get it over with. For 6 months, he left his cell only to shower, quickly and alone. Gradually, though, he made an acquaintance or two and was invited into the yard for an hour of exercise and socializing. Once he began talking, he became instantly disliked. Greg was a rarity on the row, a man who strongly supported the death penalty. You do the ultimate crime, you pay the ultimate price, he argued loudly. Such opinions were unheard of. He also developed the irritating habit of watching David Letterman at full volume. Sleep is cherished on the row, and many of the men spend half of each day in another world. When you're sleeping, you're cheating the system. Sleep is your time, not the state's. Condemned killers do not hesitate to threaten to kill again, and Greg soon heard the rumor that he was a marked man. Every death row has at least one boss, and several who want to be. There are factions vying for control. They prey on the weak, often demanding payment for the right to live on the row. When word filtered to Greg that he needed to pay rent, he laughed and sent a message back that he would never pay a dime to anyone for living in such a rat hole. The row was ruled by Soledad, the nickname of a killer who'd once spent time in the famous prison in California. Soledad didn't appreciate Greg's pro-death penalty stance, and he really didn't like David Letterman. And since any boss worthy of respect had to be ready to kill, Greg became the target. Everyone has enemies on the row. The feuds are nasty and arise quickly over anything. A pack of cigarettes can provoke an attack in the yard or the shower. Two packs can get you killed. Greg needed a friend to watch his back. Annette's first visit to McAllister was sad and frightening, not that she was expecting anything else. She preferred not to go, but Ronnie had no one but his sisters. The guards patted her down and checked her purse. Moving through the layers of the big house was like sinking into the dark belly of a beast. Doors clanged, keys rattled, guards glared as if she had no business there. She was numb, sleepwalking, with a hard knot in her stomach and a racing pulse. They were from a nice family in a nice house on a shady street. Church on Sundays, 1,000 baseball games when Ronnie was a boy. How had it all come to this? This will become a habit, she admitted to herself. She would hear the same sounds and see the same guards many times in the future. She asked if she could bring stuff, cookies, clothes, cash. No, came the quick answer. Only small change. So she handed the guard a handful of quarters and hoped he passed them on to Ronnie.